irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, I am Nick Newmont, and welcome to Mainstream Metaphysics. I got a lot of great comments about last week's show with Craig, and a lot of comments up until today. I had this beard that was part of my Halloween costume, and the beard is gone, back to clean shaven. Thanks for all the great comments, men and women. It's awesome. But if I can paraphrase, I don't think my wife was into kissing a Brillo pad, and it had to go away. And anyway, that's it. If you haven't tuned in before, if you don't know who I am, Nick Newmont, I am the co-owner of the Newmont Center for Balanced Living in Agoura Hills, California. I am a psychic, a medium, a channel, astrologer, numerologist, palmist, card reader. I even do windows. I'm a paranormal investigator. I go out and cleanse and bless properties, and I do a very high form of energy work called sentient healing. We employ and teach very advanced techniques, so our institution isn't just a healing institution. We are a learning institution also. We have been incorporating other modalities, and those are guests that you will meet beyond myself. And my wife is a hypnotherapist and a spiritual practitioner. We have a doctor of Chinese medicine, an acupuncturist. We have another person that does quantum feedback and Rife energy work. So it's, you know, it's a really cool place. And if you'd like more information about our place, you can go to nicknewmont.com. We have a little store within the place where we have incredible crystals, rare crystals that we sell, and we have our own line of aromatherapy products. We make our own soy candles that are magic and intentional candles. And I have to say that we really and truly have fun in what we do. So here we are in early November, and one of the hot topics of conversation that comes my way, being an astrologer, is Mercury retrograde. And I think that the whole word Mercury retrograde has become so common and so mainstream that there's a lot of people that have caught wind of it. I mean, I know that realtors, real estate agents get caught up in it, and what you can't do and what you can do. And there is a phraseology that I'm going to morph in once I introduce my guest, as to when people think they can't do something because of an astrological configuration. I've coined the phrase astrological paranoia, and this fear that takes over where people say, well, I just can't do that. So first of all, Mercury retrograde turned, Mercury went backwards on Halloween, of all things, and it's retrograde or theoretic backwards until November 20th. Now, in reality, what is retrograde? Well, it has to do with the astronomical movement of the planets. And so the orb that a planet has around the sun is not a perfect circle. There are times that it's an ellipse. It's closer to the sun. And then when the planet is further away from the sun, in relationship to the movements of the other planets by degrees, it seems like it's going backwards. But the vision that you have of retrograde is you're on a train, on a track, not going at a fast speed, and there's a train on a parallel track going in the same direction that's going slower. It makes it seem like the train on the other track is going backwards, but it's not. You happen to be going very fast on the train that you're in. Well, the slower train is Mercury retrograde. It's just moving slower than the other planets. It can't go backwards. Planets don't do that. So the planet Mercury rules our intellect. It rules communication. It rules the concept of travel, short-distance travel, delivery, things of that nature. And the general rule of thumb when Mercury is retrograde is that you don't sign contracts, you don't move because things get lost, stolen, or broken. You have to be careful of technology because it breaks down, so to say, and I have witnessed that. And you have to be very careful with conversations with people and communication, so you don't end up with that he said, she said stuff going on, or people assuming that communication was made. And what I tell people is, don't assume that an email went through, follow up with a text or a phone call. Just don't assume anything in Mercury retrograde. It's not Murphy's Law. It's not a thing that tends to go, you know, wrong. You know, it's just simply that planet has an effect on us. Now, one thing I do want to touch on with Mercury retrograde, because this comes up all the time, and that part about don't sign contracts. Keep in mind, thinking about real estate. So if the negotiation has started and you've agreed upon whatever that is, the deal is, and the time to sign is in Mercury retrograde, as long as the intention was there and it was agreed upon to do that deal, you can sign the documents in Mercury retrograde, because that is simply the formality of putting pen to paper. Now, if you're going to open negotiations in Mercury retrograde and then try to close the deal in Mercury retrograde, that kind of is asking for trouble. In Mercury retrograde, one of the things that's said many times is it's better to be a seller instead of a buyer, because you don't want to create buyer's remorse. Myself, I'm born with Mercury in retrograde, which means that I have some of the advantages that I can do things in Mercury retrograde or get it to work for my advantage, where people who are born with Mercury direct have more of the pitfalls. And I through the years, 20 some years of doing astrology, I mean, I get stories coming back to me that after a while, you just have to laugh. But I will tell a tale on myself. And a chunk of years ago, one of the appliance stores was having a great sale on computers, and it was in Mercury retrograde. And a fellow astrologer warned me, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. So I was a little bit of an astrological smart aleck, and I bought it, you know, the great price and the printer, everything, and said, "What? I won't open it. I won't set it up, you know, until Mercury has gone direct." Long story short, had to take it back. It was a nightmare, wouldn't work. So that was one of those times. But my wife is also born with Mercury in retrograde, and she and I successfully bought two cars in one day in Mercury retrograde, and it worked out great. So there are things that we can get away with. Now, currently Mercury is retrograde in the sign of Scorpio. And so when Mercury is in Scorpio, what happens is people get a lot more emotional, and common sense kind of goes out the window. And so when people get into, say, a romantic relationship in Mercury retrograde, this is when affairs of the heart really go sideways. And because Scorpio is very passionate, people kind of lose their minds a little bit and get caught up in the extremities of the honeymoon stage. And then when Mercury goes direct, it's kind of like they wake up out of this dream going, "Oh, okay, this is not what I thought it was at all." Now, when Mercury is retrograde in Scorpio, be very careful with secrets or information that you don't want to get out there, because of course, Mercury is all about communication, but when Mercury is retrograde in Scorpio, it's like going into a room or like a restroom and you're whispering gossip about someone, and it goes up through the air ducts and everybody hears what you're talking about. So do be careful with that. So it's a matter of, because Mercury rules your intellect, it's a matter of common sense when you're dealing with Mercury retrograde. Think before you act, which is the best advice I can give. Now, I want to talk more about astrological paranoia, because that has become a belief system. And by the way, in all my years of doing this, I know people that get paralyzed because they won't do something because the moon is void of course, or there's a day or two when there's moon wobble, and a lot of people don't even know what moon wobble is. It's like, we can't do that. And by the way, with the other major planets, when they go retrograde, there are advantages to when some of the planets are retrograde and how we navigate that. And nothing is so finite, and it creates such a bad situation or experience. There's always a way to navigate this. You just plan ahead. And as an astrologer, I don't talk about things in the moment as such a challenge that you can't work through it. I talk about what it is, where it's going, the time frame of the challenging aspect, and then this is how you handle it. Otherwise, the client leaves just upset and feeling hopeless, and I won't let anyone do that. So what I want to do now is I want to bring in my guest, who is a longtime friend and fellow hypnotherapist. And this young lady I've known since 1996, had taken classes with her and exchanged a lot of good information. And she is a wealth of information when it comes to therapy and especially hypnotherapy. And so I'd like to introduce Michelle Guzzi. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Nick. I'm so excited to be here.
Good. It's good to have you here.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
You're so welcome.
We will talk about astrological paranoia, but I want to talk about, like, first of all, you know, who you are, your practice, how you got into it. I mean, I know where you went to school, obviously, but and why did you get into this, which is what people ask me too.
Well, so I'm a hypnotherapist. I also specialize in dealing with past life. But really, I started when I was about 9, and I started doing past life regressions when I was about 9. I grew up in Alaska, and a friend of mine and I found a book on hypnosis and past life regression, and we just started exploring that and then realized that we could do it on each other, and we can actually see into our past lives and have these experiences as if we were really there and know things that weren't taught to us yet in school because we were only in fourth grade. But when we would look in the history books, we knew that some of the information in the history books were just wrong. And so I was always in trouble. I was always in trouble in school because, you know, the teacher would say something in history class, and then I would say, well, that's not what happened. And then she'd say, well, how do you know? And I said, because I was there, I was hanging out with Cleopatra, so I knew this. But it was just kind of fun. It was fun. We explored hypnosis. And then I moved to Los Angeles when I was about 19. And when I was 24, found out about the Hypnosis Motivation Institute and mm-hmm. went to school and became one of the senior instructors there and developed my whole private practice. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's quite a journey. Now, I want to go back to when you were a kid.
Yeah.
This is not lost on me. At any point, because you really didn't know technically what you were doing, was it ever dangerous? I mean, did you ever put you and your friend in peril at all?
No, you know what? It just felt so natural and so comfortable for us. Because I'm sure it's what I probably did in a past life, if you want to go there. But the whole energy of it, of going into just a guided meditation and just allowing your mind to be open and receive that information that we were working on, was just natural. That's all okay. I can say. It was just really natural. It wasn't scary. We actually didn't tell a lot of people because it was a secret between us. And then once the other kids started to find out what we were doing, then everybody wanted to come over. But it was just a private thing that we did.
Cool.
Yes. And then with hypnosis, just hypnosis itself,
right?
You know, going to the hypnosis college, I realized that, you know, hypnosis is just a state of suggestibility, and we are in hypnosis all day, every day.
True.
And it's forming not only our belief systems, but it also triggers whether we're in a positive state or a negative state. And what we hear and see and feel in the environment, it affects us all the time. So we're talking about Mercury retrograde and what right. people believe about that and how that affects them as well.
Truly. Now, when it comes to, and this comes up for me too, let's talk a little bit about the difference between hypnosis versus hypnotherapy, because there are a lot of people that think that we're going to make them quack like a duck mm-hmm. and stop the stage hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And of course that we could, but I don't.
So basically hypnotherapy is just behavior modification counseling.
Good.
Right? And as therapist, whether you're certified or you're licensed in the field practicing this, hypnosis is the tool. It's the technique that we use to access the subconscious mind. And it is that state of suggestibility. So it's being able to open up all of those doors and channels and work on behavior, work on confidence, work on your relationships. If you have fears, if you have phobias, if you have anxiety, stress, then this is one of the most effective tools to be able to alleviate symptoms of that and have success, happiness, prosperity, and abundance in your life.
When I became a hypnotherapist, and I went to another school in 92, so that what's scary is I've been doing this for 27 years, mm-hmm. and the reason I became a hypnotherapist is I didn't want the licensure that bound me as a psychotherapist or a psychologist, and this is going to sound kind of, it may be a little selfish, but I didn't want to be that kind of therapist and sit there and talk to the same clients for 30 years mm-hmm. and never really get them through. And as hypnotherapists, we really can affect and create a lot of positive changes for people mm-hmm. within their behavior.
Yeah, and I was a psychology major as well, and that's what I really loved about the hypnotherapy profession is that we are very goal-oriented. So I'm the mind coach. I actually now call myself the realization coach because I help people have these realizations. And it's not that we can't do it ourselves. It's sometimes we need a little bit of help from the outside.
Sure.
And hypnotherapy compared to psychology, psychotherapy, and so forth is moving forward. I always want you to be able to move forward. We'll talk about what the issue is, a little bit about the history of it. But my goal is to say, where do you want to be? You know, where do you want to be tomorrow and next week and the next year? Mm-hmm. So we're motivators. We're motivational right, coaches, right. motivational therapists.
Well, one of the things that we learned way back and early in education is in the first 15 years of our lives, our parents write our subconscious script, the mother first and then the father. And hypnotherapy is the one way that we can rewrite that script. And we're not stuck. You know, you hear people talk about, oh, my God, I'm like my father and whatever that is. We can shift that mm-hmm. with hypnotherapy, mm-hmm. which is great. But parental conditioning has the most effect on us before we ever interact in the environment outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
We take our cues
from everything around us. So if we think of our mind just like a computer, whatever is programmed in that computer is how that computer runs. Or your cell phone. Everybody has cell phones now, and we have all right. of these apps. And your phone comes with apps that are already pre-installed, and then you may add more apps. But if those apps are running in the background, they're going to affect your battery. If you right. don't know how to use those apps, then it's going to affect, you know, how you are utilizing the phones. And if we don't like the apps, we can just uninstall them or we can delete them. The difficulty with our mind is that we can't just delete our programming, but hypnotherapy allows us to desensitize it and maybe have a different perspective of what do we want to do next or how do we want to handle situations even better.
So when we talk about desensitizing, there's anxiety is running rampant these days. And one of the things that I employ when I see it's necessary, it's called anxiety coping mechanisms so people can deal, so they can cope. Michelle, nowadays, there's so many things going on that people want help with. What do you find, what are the most common complaints, presenting issues that people bring to you and that you seem to work on the most?
Well, I think you're right. It's the it's the stress that people are going through, especially here in Los Angeles. And now we're having all of the fires that are taking place. People are worried about what's happening. Is my home going to be safe? Should I go to work or not? And, you know, the news is a wonderful avenue to be able to give information. But when we get too caught up in the news also brings a lot of the negatives and a lot of the fears. So most of my clients are dealing with some major stress, and whether it is what they're hearing in the news or, of course, our favorite, you know, politics, what's going on in politics,
sure.
Then we're becoming just so suggestible to that. It affects the relationships, and the stress is actually affecting people physically more than I've ever seen in my career. And they are having the anxiety attacks. They're having more depression. They're having more ulcers or hair loss. And it's from children all the way up. And these are not just adults, but kids are being affected by that too. So,
and there's a certain amount of, because of the way the world has changed, and I see this, and my wife and I work with kids a lot, and we see kids at a young age experiencing stress. That it's stress that I didn't have in my teens. It didn't exist like that then.
Well, I grew up in Alaska. I don't know what kind of stress we have going camping and fishing all the time and hanging out in the woods. But we didn't have cell phones in our back pocket by the time we were five years old. We didn't have social media and be on all the time. So, you know, children and teenagers these days, they're dealing with a lot of the cyberbullying. That's another thing that I have with them, a lot of my clients coming in, is that it's so easy to pick on people now through the internet and through Facebook and Instagram. It's so easy to be able to be a target. And what do you do with that? You know, once you post that picture, once you post that message or that text out there, it's out there.
Right.
You can't take it back. It's out there.
That's right. There's a lot of things that can't be unsaid or unseen. I want to jump back to television for a moment, because We're talking about hypnosis in a very positive way, but when people plant themselves in front of a television for hours on end, they're actually going into a hypnotic state. Do you want to touch on that?
Mm-hmm. So if we always just keep in mind that hypnosis is a state of suggestibility. By the way, stage hypnosis, that's just for entertainment.
Right.
Hypnotherapy is for behavior modification. All of it's very real. You know, if somebody comes up on stage to do a stage hypnosis show, they're not faking it. They're just in that state of being entertaining and wanting to act like, you know, whatever the hypnotist is saying. But we're hypnotized by TV. We're hypnotized. You drive down the freeway and miss your exit. You're in hypnosis. You go to a movie. You know, you get caught up in the movie and you laugh and you cry and you scream and it's not real. But if the director has done their job, that's a state of hypnosis.
When I'm doing group work, I'll ask them, because people talk about whether they've been hypnotized, and this gets into meditation too. Then I'll ask the whole group, how many of you have ever pulled in your driveway and said, oh, I'm home? And like the whole group, everybody's hand goes up. Well, it's true. Everybody has done that at some point, but it's really dangerous.
Well, you know, it is dangerous, but our mind is always processing. So we have a conscious state of our mind that we say is maybe, 10, 12% of our mind. Some say it's a little bit less. That's our logic, our reason, our analytical ability. So we are thinking, but the programs that are running in the background, that's your subconscious programming. That is 88 to 90% of the time. So it is constantly going. It's how you breathe. It's how you talk right now.
Sure.
It's how you drive. So you have the conscious and the subconscious that are two different levels, and sometimes it's the subconscious mind that takes over.
Well, and subconsciously, when your eyes see brake lights go on, your foot automatically, most of the time, goes to the brake pedal, all right? But we also know that in the conscious mind can only take in 2 to 7 bits of suggestion. And there are literally people that can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So when we try to do too much at the same time, like, and I've said this to my clients, you know, when you're driving the car and you're drinking your coffee and playing with the radio and looking at your phone and women putting on makeup, the conscious mind can only divert focus and attention so many ways. There was an incredible study in Time magazine, and this goes back over 15 years ago, and it was a lot of pages. And it was a study that was done in Los Angeles school district where they had kids who studied at home with quiet and kids that studied with music and TV on. And it was unbelievable how the test scores were so much better when there was less input.
Mm-hmm.
And because kids, especially teenagers, will say, no, I focus better when I've got music and the TV on.
Mm-hmm.
And bull.
Mm-hmm. It's the stimulus that comes in.
Right.
And, you know, but some people are more visually oriented. They may be more auditory or more kinesthetic. I know for me, I just need it to be completely quiet if I'm learning or studying something. So it all depends on your sensory input of what's happening.
Right.
But, you know, everybody listening right now is in a state of hypnosis.
Sure.
You know, they're in that state. So what are you going to do with that state? And that's where we come in. We help people change states. We help people change their lives.
Exactly. What's your favorite thing to work on? Because we get smoking cessation and habit changing, and there's free-floating anxiety, performance anxiety, mm-hmm. anticipatory anxiety. I mean, it just goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you like to work on the most?
Well, one of my favorite specialties, of course, is past life regression and being able to have clients come in and maybe have an issue or a symptom in their body and they do not know why it's there. There's no reason for it. The doctor can't figure out what's happening. But they may have a little insight that could have happened sometimes in another lifetime. So I'll take people into a 4-hour past life regression and just explore that. But what I really like to do is help people with fears and phobias.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on Good Day LA and we had a couple clients that came in. One had a fear of spiders and the other one had the fear of snakes. Could not touch them, could not look at them, couldn't even see a picture of them. And remember, fears they're learned behaviors. You're not born with these fears.
Correct.
You're not born with that. So if it was learned, then I can help you unlearn it. And we did hypnosis. We had one session. And by the end of the session, I had a snake wrangler in my office. I had somebody who had a big giant tarantula and put them in hypnosis. We let go of the fear. We desensitized it. And then they were able to hold the snake and hold the spider. Remember, Tracy and Cherry, you other ones that were in my office. And it was gone. The fear was completely gone. Mm-hmm. Tracy was so funny. She actually went and got a tattoo of a snake on her arm after the session. But she was deathly afraid. She couldn't even
right.
go near snakes.
And did she ever have any kind of event at all that contributed to the
exactly.
fear?
And that's what happens. We'll have an event that takes place that in that moment opens up that door to suggestibility. You become what we call hyper-suggestible or a somnambulist.
Mm-hmm.
And that event, whether it was when you were 2 years old or 12 years old or 22 years old, immediately triggers all of the emotions, goes into your mind, and then it locks in there as now this is your new belief. So you could have been okay with spiders. You know, I have clients coming in that have no problem driving on the freeway. Love driving, absolutely love driving. But one day, maybe they drive by or get almost get into an accident, or they see an accident, and from that day forward, they're not able to get on the freeway again. You know, so the fear of driving on the freeway can lead to agoraphobia. Now I can't leave the house. So it just takes one thing in 1 second to change your life,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's hypnosis,
right? And along with, I want to add this, no matter what you're working on with a hypnotherapist, there's a couple things that are like automatic benefits to whatever the issue is. One, you generally will be more relaxed. And the other thing, it will help your sleep too,
mm-hmm.
because you're in a better state of calm instead of either staying up, you know, you can't go to sleep, or crashing asleep. You go to sleep more gradually. And also hypnotherapy can help trigger dreams that are very productive too.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've found also is that people would get very caught up in dreams, especially if they're nightmarish. But when I explain to people, the timing of a dream is just as important as the content of the dream, especially venting dreams that happen before you wake up in the morning, and people get all freaked out. Oh my God, I had this dream. And I go, what time was it? Oh, it was about 6. I'll go, good. I go, good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you're venting.
Yeah, so your mind has to go through three basic phases of dreams. We have wishful thinking dreams the first third of the night. We have the predicting dreams that, yep, if you wake up in the middle of the night, then, and you have an aha moment, precognitive dreams are in, yep, there. That's what Edison and Einstein, they'd kind of go into that dream state to figure out the equations and formulas that they needed. But the venting dreams are, that's your mind saying, okay, I got all of this information that's happened during the day, and how do I release it so I can empty the drawer, basically, or empty, yep, the closet and do the next day? And your dreams are all symbolic just for you. So when people come in with dream books, and I know we all love the dream books, I'm a little wary of that, because water may mean something to you, but it means something completely different to me in my dream. So we analyze what those symbols are, you know, for you,
right,
and how it affects you on an emotional level from that dream.
There's times I've actually said to people, they'll ask about dream books, and I said, the dream books are good for your fireplace.
Yeah. They make good, you know, starters for the fire. That's, mm-hmm, right. That's right.
Because they are personal, and you have to be working with your client and know their circumstances to understand the symbolism that they're feeding back to themselves. Then there's another thing that happens too. And one of the things that I'm very big on with my clients is diet. What's going on? Because the body and nutrition has a huge effect on your mind and your emotions. And when people tell me that they're continually waking up, you know, between 3 and 4 in the morning, it's like, okay, what are you eating before you go to bed?
Exactly. It's so important.
And then I'll find out, oh, I was eating very healthy cereal. Like, oh. No. When what we're teasing about here is that your blood sugar can drop while you're sleeping, especially if you ate something sugary, and around between 3 and 4 in the morning, there is a condition that we call sugar blues or sugar depression. And because at that point, now your insulin levels have spiked as the blood sugar has dropped, and now you're wide awake at that point. So, pay a lot of attention to what you put into your body, especially your evening meal. And I know a lot of people like to linger with their glass of wine while they're watching TV and all that, but you really have to flush your system out. You know, you've got to really hydrate. Water is so important, mm-hmm, in diet and nutrition. What, mm-hmm, do you want to add something?
So, I mean, your mind and body are completely linked together. So as you were talking about what you eat, I know for me, I have hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar, that if I'm not eating every few hours, then I completely shut down. My brain stops functioning. I'm not able to communicate very effectively. I feel like I'm having a panic attack. And I used to think that they were panic attacks. And quite, sure, a few of my clients come in, they're like, I have anxiety, I'm having panic attacks. And the moment I find out what they're eating and we shift their food around just a little bit, or the hours that they're eating, then the panic attacks begin to disappear. The anxiety begins to, right, disappear. So, you know, what you eat will affect your sleeping, will affect your thoughts, will affect your behavior, will affect your personality, affects your life.
There was a great example that I read some years ago about a guy that thought he had fear of public speaking. And long story short with this guy, he was going to speak at a big conference, and because he was running late, he didn't eat, and he's in a rush getting there. And this place had a typical hotel ballroom, continental breakfast with coffee and sweet rolls and all that. And he had all that, and then he's nervous with all the sugar going through him. And that experience, the speaking didn't go well, caused him to believe, because he was shaky and nervous, that he had fear of public speaking. Mm-hmm. And when that was looked into, the way we look into those things, they found out it wasn't public speaking at all. It was a dietary deficiency that day that set him off. Mm-hmm. Just like he didn't have hypoglycemia, but it was low blood sugar that day.
That day. And so it just linked in.
Right.
So our subconscious mind does not think. It doesn't process information. It just does what we call it. It identifies, associates, and then responds to it, whatever the stimulus is. So if you have, exactly, an association that happened when you were 5 years old and you're 25 or 45 now, your mind is remembering how it happened at 5 and your response at 5. So hypnosis is a really effective way of being able to go in and break what we call the gestalt of that, the links mm-hmm. of emotional, you know, memories that have been impacted, and just give you, we give you new tools. You know, I like to teach my clients everything that I know, from hypnosis to neurolinguistic programming to guided imagery and, you know, anchoring different states, because I want you to be able to take care of yourself. You know, I kind of think of myself like a dentist. You don't go to the dentist every single day.
Right. And as hypnotherapists, we're not really supposed to maintain a client, you know, for years and years and years, like in traditional talk therapy.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to help them get better and move them on, and they come back for booster shots
mm-hmm.
periodically.
There
That's really what's supposed to happen. Although in my practice, because there's the metaphysical and the spiritual that I bring in, a lot of my sessions, the client ends up evolving, and they get into this amazing growth because they went beyond what the original issue was, and now we're doing all the other things and taking them to a whole new level. So, and also if your client has various things to work on, then they may keep coming back for a while because, oh, this worked great. Now I want to work on this.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I've had clients that I've been seeing for, you know, 25 years, but they
sure.
may come in every 5 or 6 years. You know, I've gone
right.
through deaths and births and marriages and divorces with some of my same clients, but they come in, they get the tools, we record. I always record the hypnosis session for them so they can listen to it as many times as they need to, and they move on. You know, they
right.
feel better. They move on. And that's why I just, you know, I love my job. I like being able to coach people into that success and happiness
sure.
and prosperity.
And as you said the word coach, and as certified hypnotherapists, we are life coaches because mm-hmm. not because we hang out a shingle and say we're life coaches. There are, and I'm going to step on some toes here, there are sometimes people take weekend courses and all of a sudden they're life coaches. And it's like, how does that displace all the education that we've gone through
mm-hmm.
and having to understand the depths of psychological backgrounds that both you and I have, and people are just doing that. When you're dealing with the human mind, it's very delicate, and one really has to know what they're doing, because you can learn how to hypnotize someone. I mean, a lot of people can do it, but it's understanding the symptoms and what you're working with, and that's what makes you so good at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've earned that title, coach,
mm-hmm.
that you use.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I take my hat off to people that have done the work and the years of work that have made them what they are in the therapeutic world. So I have a lot of respect for you.
Thank you. You too. I've been also been kind of playing with the word, because coaches, and I'm a coach, as everybody, they're 19, they're a coach now. So it's fascinating to me. But, you know, I've been the mind coach for almost 30 years.
Right.
But I'm also now getting more into the metaphysical and the spiritual stuff that we do. I call myself a mind sage, because I like to sage that subconscious mind. I like to clear the subconscious mind of all of those negatives, all of those false beliefs, you know, all of that programming that is not serving you. So, you know, people sage their homes, they
right.
sage their offices, they get the bad energy out, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm going to sage your subconscious mind.
So how do we... Since you're using that phraseology.
Yeah.
So how do we sage the mind when people have astrological paranoia? Okay. When Mercury retrograde, which happens 3 times a year, and people are just like, oh my God, you know, and people do react like that at times. So what do we do with that?
Well, we have to take it back to belief systems. We have to take it back to belief systems. So if you have that belief, like you were saying, that, oh my God, Mercury retrograde's coming up. My life is going to be ruined. I have to be very aware of everything, or I can't, you know, sign those contracts. I can't do this. If you get so caught up in the fear of that, then guess what? Those bad things probably are going to happen, because mm-hmm. you're going to start attracting that. You're putting the energy
right.
out there.
That's right.
And, you know, I know all about it, but I don't focus on it. That's the difference, you know, maybe with
sure.
me and somebody else, is I know about it. I understand it. We've been, you know, doing this forever, but I'm like, okay, what's going on in my life? Oh, maybe Mercury retrograde, but right. I'm not going to let that dictate what's happening with my career or my personal and professional life. I just know it's something that's there, and I need to check my belief system and whether or not I'm going to be open to that, or I can just move on and let it go.
Well, having said that...
Oh, he's got my chart.
I ran Michelle's chart. So let's talk a little bit about Mercury retrograde.
I think we ran out of time. Okay.
Oh, we're good.
Time to go. Oh, darn it.
All right. So, Michelle, you're an example, as I am too. You're born with Mercury in retrograde. So Mercury...
Is that good?
Yeah, it is good. Okay. So that means that you can do some of the things that as an astrologer, I advise people not to do under the heading of common sense. Sort of don't tempt fate, mm-hmm. all right? Because, look, here's the thing I want to say, that you and me and people that we coach, we can get them aligned up and go, look, this is how you handle this. But the other quirk is we can't coach everybody else that's out there that runs around with their, like the chicken with their head cut off. Okay. So we can only handle ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're born with Mercury in retrograde, that means that you, first of all, you think backwards because Mercury is your intellect. And then when you're born with Mercury in retrograde, sometimes, unless you're trained, you'll speak inferentially automatically and people go, what? In fact, when I first met my wife, she used to speak very inferentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she went through her training and she went to HMI too.
Mm-hmm.
And I would teach her because I'd say, I'd joke with her, not teach her. And then I'd come home from work and she'd say, oh, by the way, they called, they're coming Thursday to fix that. What? I have no point of reference. What do you mean? And then she would say, oh, like, you know, the toilet in the powder room isn't working right. The plumber, I called the plumber, he's coming. That I got, you know, mm-hmm. she doesn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of Mercury retrograde. We talk backwards, we think backwards, and
I just thought I was special because I knew how to do
that. Well, you are special.
I'm just, you know, you're saying I'm backwards. I'm backwards. But I do. I speak in inferences because I think ahead and I've already processed it in my mind. And I'm assuming that you know what I'm talking about because we talked about it 14 days ago on Tuesday at 2:00, which I still remember. And so I take that all the way into right now. Okay, so that's what I'm doing. No wonder.
So when you have Mercury in retrograde, you have this stream of consciousness, like you're listening to something up in your head, and everyone around you is not able to hear what's going on inside your head. Okay? And so then the other thing is, with Mercury retrograde, you have to look at, well, what house is it in? Well, you're born with Mercury in the third house, which is the Gemini house, which is a natural Mercury house, the third house. So this means for you at times, communication with people can be a circus. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So, and by the way, when people talk about Mercury retrograde, you just don't say, oh, it's retrograde. You have to look at the person's chart. Where is Mercury in the natal chart? Where is Mercury right now in their chart? What sign is Mercury in at the moment? What sign were they born with? See, you have Mercury retrograde in Cancer, which means you got some of these traits from your mother, because
mm-hmm.
Cancer's the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So you took that on. All right, so we're good on time. So in your chart, what I would say to you, because Mercury is retrograde in your seventh house, this means that you have to make sure that one-on-one communication, people that you're close one-on-one with, that the lines of communication are open and clear. Otherwise, with Mercury retrograde in Scorpio, there's be assumptions, or from the outside, people would assume that you're purposely or intentionally omitting information, because Scorpio does that.
Hmm.
Scorpio gives out information on a need-to-know basis. So while Mercury is in Scorpio retrograde, it can cause that kind of undercurrent of communication. So clear communication is important to you in your one-on-one relationships. Now, at the same time, the planet Pluto, which is all about transformation, death and rebirth, you know, regeneration, is forming a direct opposition to your natal Mercury, which means there's pressure on you right now. In other words, it's like you're under an interrogation lamp to say whatever is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates pressure on your brain, and it's stressful, and it's hard to think clearly with what's happening in your chart right now. So Pluto is just anchored right in the opposition to Mercury.
Hmm.
So it's stressful, but you also, when Pluto is opposing Mercury like that in your chart, look at if this isn't working, look for alternative solutions. That's how you deal with that, what you have going on right now.
Wow.
And this is going to continue for the next couple months.
Oh, great.
So when you get to times like these, when there's challenging aspects, in fact, I have a client that has had for a year what's called a cross in the chart, which is just like you're just throttled from four directions, but you have to coach people on how to navigate that. And one of the things is when you have a challenging aspect, and like the one you have, Michelle, we have to rise above it. In other words, we look at everything in a two-dimensional way. We have to be three-dimensional and look at it from a different perspective. And that way it's kind of like, okay, the doors and windows are locked. We can't get out. Rise above it. Oh, air duct. Mm-hmm. We go up and out. So we look for the alternative solutions when we have challenging aspects like this.
So I should either speak my truth or I'm supposed to keep my mouth quiet and shut.
No, speak your truth. But
there
in Mercury retrograde, speak it in such a way that you say the first point, okay, do you understand that? Do I need to say that again? Okay, then go to the next one. The worst thing that people can do in Mercury retrograde also is what we call bunching or chunking, where all of a sudden they're just spewing everything at you, and you're going, whoa, wait a minute, one at a time here. Because Mercury retrograde also means communication from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the upsides of communication of Mercury retrograde is, and it happens to me all the time, people start calling me that I haven't heard from in a long time, clients.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow. So it has a really cool upside to
mm-hmm.
it. But sometimes people bring up things with Mercury retrograde in Scorpio that they're upset about and they have been stewing on. And that's not good. If there's something on your mind, folks, say it. Get it off your chest. Mercury in Scorpio, brutally honest, yes. But sometimes honesty is the best policy.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple minutes left. Michelle, tell everyone how they can reach you, how they can get an appointment or find out more about you.
Sure. So I am the Mind Coach. You can go to themindcoach.com. And I have my hypnosis clinic. It's in Woodland Hills. Phone number is 818-446-6463. 818-446-MIND-6463. I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to give me a call or send me an email. And I do free consultations over the phone to just really kind of find out if this is something that would benefit you in exploring hypnosis and hypnotherapy.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And if you'd like to get a hold of me or like more information, I'm Nick Newmont. You can go to nicknewmont.com. Our office line at the center is 818-865-8770. And by the way, that is a landline, so please don't text that. And my email is nnewmont, N-N-E-W, M-O-N-T at gmail.com. Thanks so much. This has been very enlightening. And, I'm thrilled that you're doing so well and look forward to seeing results of, your work.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm excited for your show. Hope to come back on here again.
Oh, we'll have you back.
Do some more work. Yes.
Definitely. And in fact, what we can do at some point is some demo work, especially since we're on Facebook Live,
mm-hmm.
and see
mm-hmm.
Inductions and things like that, how we put people under.
Mm-hmm.
But hypnosis, it's not a toy. It's a very powerful tool, and it can affect incredible change. And as we close, one thing that I would like to add, I was working as a psychic for a few years, and even though I'm reported to be very accurate, I found a level of frustration that I couldn't get people to sort of cross the line to make some of those dreams, you know, become real. And so I became a hypnotherapist to help them, you know, because my mantra is, you know, I give people their life back, mm-hmm. you know.
I love it.
Thank you. Thanks again. See you soon. And this is Mainstream Metaphysics. I'm Nick Newmont, and I will see you next week. Bye.
You're listening to Mainstream Metaphysics with Nick Newmont, only on LA Talk Radio.